spiffy.
It's the Exit 52 podcast presented by Jimmy Seafood back here on a Tuesday night. Taylor Banks, RDT. Fellas, how are we doing?
Are we not the only podcast that does XYZ anymore?
Sometimes we are.
Yeah.
I thought we were bringing that back in 2020.
We are. Well, give me one.
I'm wiped, dude. The only podcast.
The only Baltimore podcast that has someone named Brian Black that's sick.
With a host who may die.
Absolute.
With a host who, yes, that is a good point. RDT, with a host.
I may die.
Pre-show quote. I may die.
Die.
I could
We're
die.
Power through. What are you gonna
so,
do?
So could be the last show with the three of us.
Yeah.
That's on the table.
When you get glasses B, that's when you know.
Glasses B. Yes, that's B. True.
Yep.
That so glasses B is like out. It's usually like a week before Thanksgiving. Like football season is taking its toll. The weather. Like work, he's kicking ass, and you're just like driving to Wisconsin in 2 hours.
The week after Memorial Day weekend is up there. So
that's a big weekend coming soon, by the way. Coming soon, Memorial Day. We're not that far away.
Going in hat.
What's ailing you?
I'm just congested, you know, it's the old man flu.
No one exudes not man like more a man than he is.
I am man, and I have the flu.
No, well, we hope you get better, and
it's just a cold. We
are going to roll through Banks's sickness to talk a little Baltimore sports here, gentlemen. We sit here just down the road. Orioles up 11-3 over the Minnesota Twins. About to wrap up game two of that series with an offensive explosion. RDT, you just read us a very nice home run stat. We can start right there. How about you read that stat again from, I think, Rock tweeted it out, correct?
Yeah, he retweeted it. It was from the Orioles, I forget account, but the game is final now, if you were wondering. So 11-3, 11 hits, 15 or 11 runs, 15 hits, no errors. Mollywop the Twins in a game that they really needed to. Sorry, I'm trying to find the tweet. They needed to, because again, they put Tyler Wells on the IL about 15 minutes before first pitch. So we don't really know who's starting tomorrow. There's talk that it's the Loyola guy, Bruce Zimmerman. Some people want Cade Povich. John Means, his name is, he's starting at AAA tomorrow. I don't think it's going to be him, but, going against Pablo Lopez, it would be nice to get the series before that. And they did. So again, a 1 o'clock, day game tomorrow, and then they head out to Kansas City for what should be Kansas City's been on fire since the Orioles walked them off. They're playing really good baseball right now after what was not so great baseball during the Brewers series, and that's just baseball. And again, we've said that for the last 5 years, like, oh, it's just you have your highs and lows, but it's really what it is. Like, everyone is loving this team now. When 4 days ago we were all like, this team stinks, they have no heart, they're not doing anything. But here's the stat from Birdland Insider. The Orioles have hit 3+ home runs in 4 straight games for the first time since 2013. So again, O'Hearn had a home run, Gunner had a home run, Westberg had a home run, and what is the one I'm missing? I think that was it. I think it was only 3. But, yeah, they mashed tonight. And they've been mashing this whole series, these last 2 games. And, again, they finally came alive in the last game of the Brewers series. Not a great showing versus them, but they're a very good team. I don't know if you guys watched. Brian, I know you were at the game on Friday. We didn't run into you. We thought we saw your dad. We did not. we were like, that's Jimbo. That's him right there. And then we texted you, and you were like, yeah, he's here, but he's right next to me. So that game was a shit show. Saturday was a shit show. Again, they jumped all over DL Hall nice and early, but Dean couldn't quite hold it up. But yeah, I mean, that's what this team is going to be. It's going to be, I think they're 7-0 or 8-0 now, 7-0. Kelton Cowser is holding up the iPad of Ryan O'Hearn's home run behind O'Hearn as he's giving the interview, by the way. This is fantastic to watch. This is great. Very funny. But that's what this team is going to be. They're going to win when Grayson and Corbin Burns pitch. Like, they, I think they're 8-0 now. And then it's going to kind of be a coin toss when the other three guys go. So they got to make it. Something has to happen. They're going to get Means back soon. Bradish looked apparently really good tonight at Bowie. Threw like four innings, I think three or four innings. Was touching 95. So again, I will gladly eat crow if he comes back and helps contribute to this team. But yeah, again, we're just waiting to kind of see what's up with Wells and who's starting tomorrow, and see if they can go for the sweep.
Yeah, they definitely need to solidify the starting pitching behind the top two guys. And we sort of talked about that in the season preview about how in that rotation, they definitely weren't a finished product. And I think the hope was that maybe they would get some better starts out of those lower end guys early to kind of bridge them to either whatever trade they made or, you know, the guys getting healthy, Means, Bradish coming back up and throwing. And that hasn't necessarily happened. I think that's caused some angst about what the pitching staff looks like. And I think ultimately it's going to even out in a good way. I mean, as you said, RDT, I feel like I was reading tweets 3 days. I sometimes will click on your tweets and just read the replies to see what the pulse of people is, just because I feel like, just like the Ravens with Banks, and really Jake and Spenny too, with the Orioles, people just like to unload all of their thoughts and feelings to you in a public manner. And it was like very down after the Brewer series. And I totally get it. You lose a series, it's at home, and they really got drubbed in what was kind of like a moment-ish game. You have Jackson Holliday there, and you're in the City Connects and all those different things, and they got absolutely pounded on Friday night. And people were very down. And then you look at their record, and they're 11-6 right now, and really no harm, no foul with that record. But it's just those, as you said, those are kind of the roller coaster of what a baseball season looks like. So how they deal with some of the starting pitching shortcomings over the next maybe month, 2 months before that's all solidified or before they realize they need to go make a move, may continue to cause some stress. But I like what we're seeing from some of the guys in the lineup. It seems like Cedric Mullins has woken up a little bit over the last few days, which is good to see. Obviously, Couser is an amazing story. Obviously raked all through spring training, and sometimes you're expecting him to come down to earth a little bit. He has not. He is still continuing to fly all over the place, and is becoming a very quick fan favorite. And now the question is, when does Jackson find the stroke? And he currently hasn't. He continues to not really be competitive up there, but some of that's to be expected. You know, when we did the instant reaction last week, I think Banks made the point of like the expectation should be higher for this guy, and I didn't disagree with that, but he is doing the same thing that happens essentially to every prospect. So you hope that eventually it kind of comes back for him, but everyone else is picking him up around him. I mean, the depth of the lineup, if he starts to hit, will be kind of outrageous. On a night like tonight where McCann batted ninth and hit, and you expect him to be a little weaker because of that, he gets you two hits. So, if Jackson kind of find his stride, they're going to look very scary. Westbrook also looking very, very good. So
he's
Gunnar Henderson home run count, by the way. Just saying,
five.
It's at five now.
Yeah.
What was the
number? 27 and a half.
I think something along those lines.
27 or 28. And real quick, Taylor, Brian, you'll appreciate this stat, and this is not a Jake joke. As a ball player, this is not one of those jokes. They showed a stat that said Colton Couser was hitting .440 when behind in the count coming into tonight. That's incredible. I think they said the league average was like .199. That's unbelievable. .440? What he's doing is just beyond words right now. He has been so good. He looks like just a completely different player, but I didn't mean to cut you off, Brian. I just wanted to say that stat before it got away.
I was at that game Friday, as he was the only one who was swinging the bat at all. I was just howling at his OPS. Like, you see it up there on the scoreboard, and you see everybody's all in a row there, and you've got numbers in the 500s. You got numbers in the 800s, 900s. Mostly 600, 700, then you've just got this number that's 1.6 something. It's preposterous. It's not like the fourth game of the season. It's like the 15th game of the season. I guess at that point, it was like 12th or so, but that's still insane. It's insane.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a freak. And again, he's not only doing it with the bat. We saw the glove in Fenway. He made two really nice catches on those just rainy, shitty, gross nights out there against the Monster. He had a nice catch tonight. He looks comfortable out there in left field, which is great news, because there's someone who doesn't look comfortable who used to patrol left field, and that's Austin Hayes, who he had some comments today and you know, was like, listen, the sky isn't falling. I'll be okay. I'm going to get hits. Like, I will be okay. And it was kind of him reassuring everyone, and he had some hard hit outs yesterday. But again, it is funny how that timing works. Austin Hayes completely falls off the face of the earth. Meanwhile, Colton Cowser now is suddenly Barry Bonds and just cannot get out. So, and Taylor, like, to your point, you're talking about Jackson, you know, getting picked up by the lineup. That's just baseball. You know, again, if you're not going to do something, somebody behind you will. And that's kind of just what, that's the team aspect, you know, like you said, McCann has two hits. Oh, Westberg is just hitting the ball 100 miles an hour every time he gets up and puts one over the wall. So again, the guys are picking him up. Jackson will hit eventually. And the guys at Utah Street had a good article about Jackson and how every single at bat, it's been, everything is dotted on the corner and everything is filthy and every pitcher has given him, you know, their best stuff. And again, we talked about it. He's going to have a target on his back, and he does. So people are trying to embarrass him. They're doing a good job of it right now, but God forbid when he starts to get a hold of one, it's get ugly. We saw that with Gunner, and now you can't turn Gunner off. So that's going to be Jackson pretty soon. Mm. Again, I got a DM tonight. When are we about Jackson? I said, never. Like, what are we doing? We've done this 4 or 5 times now with these guys. Like, we're not worrying about this. Again, if he's going to hit ninth, and then you got everybody else around him, you know, murdering the ball and they're winning, he'll be okay. He'll get picked up. He'll start hitting. Everything will be fine. So again, like you said, 11-6, the Yankees were losing, so they could potentially be half game back of the Yankees tonight. So keep on winning. They've already scored. So they have the most runs in the AL by 11. They've scored 100 runs. Their run differential is plus 25. And this is after them getting their, you know, kicked in the stomach on Friday and Saturday. They may be the highest scoring team in baseball. Then the Dodgers have both scored 100. The Padres scored 103. So there you have it. They're hitting even when Jackson's not. So they'll be fine.
Yeah, I mean, as long as it doesn't seep into other parts of the game, like as long as he's still out there every night when he, you know, is still not hitting but plays a solid second base, he'll be fine. He's going to figure it out at the plate. Not a big deal. He's going to be fine. I think the concerns at the plate, I think early, were, you know, 5 days ago was a guy like Gunner maybe not swinging it. And now, you know, he's raking and he's got the 5 home runs and he's now got the OPS around 1,000. I think Colton Cowser, for some reason, doesn't qualify. I'm not really sure why he's not qualifying on the all MLB stats that I'm looking at, but maybe that's just like an error of some kind.
Hardly could get in that bat the first 3-4 games of the season. I guess that puts
that puts him a little, just enough behind. He would have the highest OPS in baseball if he qualified. So, and he's not far away from qualifying. He's got 42 at bats. And Christian Yelich is here on the ESPN stats with 39. So I'm not really sure how they're quantifying that stuff.
Total games, team games played, times 3.1 played appearances. So
so that should be, I don't
about
know,
40,
whatever it's worth. He's got to get 46. It in the next 3 days or so. So
it's just like it's murderer's row.
But that's also, sorry, Banks, that's also like the reason people shouldn't be worried about Jackson. Colton Cowser struggled, you know, however many months ago. Figured it out. Yes, Jackson's going to have to do that more in season. They were able to send Cowser down. They didn't need him, and they were able to roll him through spring training. But by the way, even if it takes Jackson Holliday till next year to figure it out, that's okay. He's 20 years old. Everybody wanted to see him. You hope that he gets to a point where he's playable, can stay on the team, and they don't have to send him back down. But even if that happens, not worried about him. Just not worried. Ask me in 2 years if I'm worried about him. The guy's 20 years old. Continue, Banks. Yeah.
No, the lineup is just so deep, and this is not the first time we've said this kind of thing or had this sentiment, but it's so deep that people can just go in elongated stretches and 2 or 3 guys will just be hot and will carry the entire operation. Like, there's just too many good players in this lineup for for there not to be guys that are performing to outweigh anybody who falls into those little slumps and stretches. So I guess maybe in some other scenarios, like a pitching first team that's a contender, Jackson Holliday might be feeling a little more heat, and there might be a little more, you know, pressure to I don't know, send him back down or sit him down or panic. But we've got guys that are just providing a nice safety net for him and letting him just kind of work out the kinks. And soon enough, like, Colton Cowser will fall into a slump. Gunnar will too. And that's when Jackson will turn it on. And, you know, these guys will pick each other up all along the way. And it's just the law of averages. Like, it's going to suss itself out.
Yeah. And Taylor, you talked about it. Like, I just thought about it as you said it. Jackson Holliday has been one of the most hyped prospects that we have ever seen. Are you probably by an Orioles fan more hyped than Adley, more hyped than Gunnar? Again, just national media and all that stuff. And he's batting ninth, like, in this lineup. Like, that's crazy. Again, like, usually, like, we talked about it when he came up, but usually it'd be like, all right, stick him at one and let him get out there. He's hitting ninth in most games. Like, this lineup is so deep right now. Again, Ryan O'Hearn, like, I'm starting right now the Ryan O'Hearn for Home Run Derby, like, campaign. Like, we're starting that. That's going to get started. Again, Mountcastle. Mountcastle hasn't even played I think he played yesterday, but didn't play tonight. Like, he can still hit the ball. Santander has been flat. And again, this team just has so many pieces with guys sitting on the bench who should be starting elsewhere, with prospects who are itching to get up down to the, you know, Heston Kerstad, who wants to come up so bad. Connor Norby, just all he does is hit. And there's just no room to put them. So again, like you both said, they will all figure it out. Law of averages, water always finds its level and everything will be fine. But again, like, the people, and it has calmed down. They're like, oh, what are we going to do about Jackson? Everyone's kind of calmed down about it, but it's a tiring conversation to have. No one should be worried about it. And again, as long as they're winning ball games, doesn't really matter to me how he plays. Cause again, he's going to turn it on eventually.
I'm sorry to interject. I'm just realizing in real time, I obviously don't have the volume on this hockey game. I think statistically, with the way the standings play out for the Caps and the Flyers, the Flyers have to win this game in regulation.
Yeah.
Outright.
So are they, what an interjection.
They are going to pull their goalie here before long.
Yep.
And by virtue of that, the Capitals are going to score and go to the playoffs by virtue of an empty net goal. And the Penguins are going to be eliminated by virtue of that.
I saw someone talk about that on Twitter.
Drop what you're doing, watch it type of stuff. Obviously, we're going to continue to podcast here, but I saw the math on this and I didn't put it together going into this game. And I just realized that in real time and my mind is blown.
Yeah. It's
got to be the buzz on Twitter of like, this is, how did nobody foresee this?
Well, somebody said it last night and they were like, hey, here's what's going to go. You know, if it's tied in with, you know, less than 10 minutes left in the third period, this is going to start being a conversation. So last night I saw that happening. They're going to their goalie and, you know, Ovi's going to score an empty net goal to eliminate the Penguins and put the Caps in the playoffs, which, yeah. So that's what I've been doing right now, keeping an eye on this game right now as we're under 6 minutes to go. But that could be very fun. But yeah, the Orioles bats, they fuck. They rake. That's all they do.
The Caps would what? Get the
second wild card?
Just see the Rangers.
Yeah, and they see the Rangers. Yeah. 114 points for the Rangers. God, I have watched so little hockey this year. Mm. So little. What a job. We talked about the Caps. What a job the Caps getting in the playoffs.
If they pull it off here, I mean,
they're just sort of, well, that's what I'm saying. They're in such a weird spot as a franchise. So nice for them to get the playoff games. I mean,
I think it was Biz or Whitney was like, their coach should win coach of the year. If they just make the playoffs. Like, that's how remarkable it would be for them to make it. Like, if they make the playoffs, he should just straight up win.
Their goal differential is minus 38 and the Penguins is plus 5.
They're the 2012 Orioles. It's incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, that is nuts. Like, their goal differential is worse than the Devils, who are 38 and 39. Wow. Wow. By the way, Blackhawks 108. The San Jose Sharks 19-53. God, I have not looked at this in a long time.
Ooh, I didn't know
they were down 9-1 late in the second period last night.
This is taking a total U-turn, this conversation.
I'm steering it back. Hyde says that they don't think Wells will miss much time. He has right elbow inflammation. So that's some good there. I will take that. Here's another fun stat. Cedric Mullins, Colton Cowser, Gunnar Henderson, Jordan Westberg, and Ryan O'Hearn. The Orioles have five players with four home runs. That's tied with the 1966 for their most such players through 20 games in a season. Tonight's only game 17. Ooh, some fun names. That 1966 team. Boog Bell, Brooks Robinson, Kurt Belfrey, Davey Johnson, and Frank Robinson. Some good names.
Yeah. To finish up on Ryan O'Hearn, because we chatted about him a little bit, it is just continues to be an amazing story of what he's done with this Orioles team. Became an indispensable guy last year, and early this year is just saying, you can't keep me out of the lineup. I know you have all these other guys that theoretically should be playing over me in some way, but how are you not going to play him? So that is where this depth comes in for them, where, as you said, Banks, like, guys can kind of fall off a little bit, but you can just find guys to take their spots. And that's what the Orioles really have organizationally right now. It also really forces these guys to not be able to take the foot off the pedal. I mentioned this before the year, but, you know, unless you're Adley or Gunner, you pretty much are maybe Cedric Mullins playing center field. You're really earning your spot every night. Like, you can't take the – if you take the – and Santander has struggled a little bit and has remained in the lineup. But, like, you cannot – you know, if you're Austin Hayes, you give Colton Cowser four games. Now you're sitting on the bench. I mean, that is an interesting spot for a team that – I like it. I like that the competitiveness is always going to be there. That 1-9 is – you know, we have this lineup that Jackson's now got into that has all these guys in. It's like, oh, that's the lineup. But, you know, Jordan Westbrook could struggle for 4 weeks, and there's guys that can come up and play instead of him, both on the team and in AAA. So it's like, it's just interesting. I think it's a good thing to have in the clubhouse. It seems like they already have a good culture, but to have that guys pushing each other mentality, if it goes the right way, if you have the right leadership, that's huge for a team.
Absolutely. And again, he was brought in off the trash heap. He was terrible as a Royal. I mean, he was bad. And now I think he's right up around a 300 hitter with the Orioles in, you know, a year and a tenth or, you know, something like that. So he's just been awesome. And he's been the perfect thing that they needed. And here we go. Great quote from him. I don't know if you guys saw the home run he hit that Buxton tried to go up and bring back. And a fan ended up kind of getting in the way in center field, but he was behind the wall and all that. And they reviewed it as they should. They were down 9 runs in the eighth. So whatever, burn your review. He said, I was going to go full George Brett there. If they called that an out, Hyder gave me permission to. So that would have been great. As much as Spenny talks about Gunner being a psycho, I think O'Hearn is a madman too. Like that,
psychos just left or right on this team. And Westbrook is just supposed to be a low key psycho.
Yep. They're just meatheads. And again, I mean, this is, I got told 3 weeks ago, like, you got to trade O'Hearn for a bullpen arm. And it's like, you are out of your damn mind. If you're trading him for,
he's for a left-handed bullpen Steve arm, Pierce. And Steve Pierce, we've seen the movie before. He goes on to win World Series MVP. So,
yeah, hopefully this time O'Hearn has the vibes of like a sneaky World Series MVP for for the Orioles. He could do that. I could see that happening.
He's also like a left-handed Delmon Young.
Yes. Probably not as anti-Semitic
as he's just Delmon. A bat. Yeah,
I would hope
not. You don't know that.
Jacob Calvin Meyer, Ryan Hearn's exit velos today, 104 miles an hour lineup, 108 miles an hour single, 90 miles an hour lineup, 104 miles an hour flyout, 101 home run.
I think tonight they showed all the 100 mile an hour exit velos in like the sixth inning, and I think they had it in like 10 or 11.
There was the stat with Gunner where he's got like the most percentage of exit velos over, you know, and he just his BIP has just been super low. So I mean, you're starting to kind of see that come to roost. I don't know if he was ever struggling, but as has been talked about many times, and you can read many people smarter than us talk about baseball has some luck involved, and it wasn't going Mr. Henderson's way. Now it is.
Well, and it's again, like imagine his numbers if things had gone his way in the first 2 weeks. He'd have 8 home runs, and he'd be hitting like 350.
He's a stud. He's a stud. So it's like it's. This Orioles team is so inevitable in terms of how we think they're going to be. Even their small struggles, I don't think should give many people pause. I think you would have to be 50 games in and be like hovering around 500, be like, okay, like what is going on here? I just think, you know, they've had some weird stuff happen and the pitching is not all the way there. And so they've got to figure it out. Is this a Caps fist pump, RDT?
I don't know. I don't know how far behind Banks is, but
oh, I forgot. We used to do this.
That's
way
the best. We used to that is the best way to bury the Pittsburgh Penguins. Oh so my good. God,
so good.
Who scored the open goal Osh, for empty netters? There you have it. So the Washington Capitals, the 8th seed Washington Capitals. You can listen to that on our on our other podcast today in Capitals. Capital beat. As you said,
that's the way it played out. I just can't believe it. Sorry.
No, you're good. You're good. No, it's I mean, to bury the Penguins in that way has got to feel great for any Caps fan. And I'm sure they exist that are watching the show. So weird road trip coming up for the Orioles after they're done with Minnesota. 3 in Kansas City, then 3 in Los Angeles before they come back here to play the A's. Normally, you would think they would have stuck out there to play the A's and then come back to play the Yankees, but that is not how this is working. As you said prior to our podcasting, RDT, Kansas City's been red hot, so that should be a very good series.
Yeah, that's again, they've been on fire since the O's walked them off. Then they have it's going to be Burns, and I think I don't know how you pronounce his last name, Ragans. He's filthy, however you say it. But I think that is the second game of the series. I'm trying to find it. But that should be a very very fun matchup. That should be.
It is. It's Dean Kramer matchup. Gets the ball on Friday in game yes. one.
Yes, and then I guess it's Saturday. Then that would be. I don't even know where it is now. I can't find it. I guess Corbin is on Saturday, but again, we haven't even seen the best stuff from Corbin. Like his last 2 games, he's kind of labored and they've gotten the wins, but he hasn't looked his best. And again, that's the thing. It's like, man, he hasn't looked good. He hasn't looked he's not bad, but he hasn't looked good. And they're still like, as if for an Orioles starting rotation, like pretty damn good for a starter. So again,
if it is amazing. Yeah. He has he's 2-0 with a 2.28 ERA and a whip under 1. Whip under yeah. 0.9, you know, 0.95.
And again, he said he had his B- stuff in, what was it, the Red Sox game, I think, where he retired like the last 16 guys he faced or something like that. So he's a different animal, man. We talk about wired different. He is wired like your ace should be wired. So yeah, he's a fun guy to have as a stopper like they had on Sunday. Give up a bomb on the second pitch. Next at bat is a double off the wall, and he's like, "Yeah, it's fine, we got it." And then he just goes on and cruises and shoves from there. So that'll be fun to watch him in Kansas City, and again, hopefully the Orioles can win that series again.
Yeah, he's we talked about this before the year as well. The thing they've just really lacked, and yes, they you know a great season from Bradish last year, kind of acting that way, but just that like legitimate stopper every fifth day where you know. You feel like even if you're a little shaky, you're going to get that at least, you know, the as you said, a B- stuff or B stuff, and that's what he's doing. I mean, that just sort of changes the complexion of your entire team. So it's huge. In terms of Baltimore Ravens, jumbo set recording right now. I think we are doing a simultaneous recordings. Spenny on vacation, so Jake's taking care of that, but you can get all your Ravens talk. Down there on the jumbo set draft coming fast and furious, gents, in a couple of weeks.
less than 2 weeks,
it up
right?
A couple weeks too. Like it started to leak into May year over year, and then it almost was pushing mid-May, and now it's back in April. So I don't know. I don't know if I care. I don't know if it bothers me, but it tightens the window with the Super Bowl moving a week back too of the off season. So I don't know how it affects the rest of it, but it's weird. It's weird to me.
Yeah.
It's usually like closer to Derby weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there is some calculation the NFL has made to put it on that weekend to maximize whatever the exposure to it is or whatever it may be. But excited for that, and we'll have content surrounding that. But roll to the jumbo set for some more Ravens discussion. Fellas, we'll jump right into it. Nick Kanner-Medley, Maryland Person of the Week here early on. Banks, start with you.
I was going to wait and see if I could do the Capitals here. I guess we're still in the fold. So I'll go with one Scottie Scheffler. Just a phenomenal performance, and it wasn't even his best, not even close, to be honest. But just a spectacular delivery of the goods. I think that's a good way to put it. He showed why he's number one. I mean, he even made it to 63 holes, made it to the turn, you know, when the tournament's supposed to start. Is the back nine at Augusta, and that's exactly when it ended. You know, he played great golf, clean golf, mistake-free golf, and the other guys shot themselves in the foot. So I think some people have called it a bad Masters. I'm not going to sit here and say it was a good Masters, but it's a Masters. It was a great Sunday. I think the moments of those guys, especially with the shot tracer nowadays here, where you just know that ball's veering towards the Rays Creek there, the pond next to 11. It's like, yeah, this tournament's starting to heat up. So those are moments, and I had fun watching it.
I thought it was a good Masters. I really enjoyed watching Saturday. I thought that the course really played tough with the wind, and the greens got really fast. And I thought it really challenged those guys. I mean, there were no, you know, weak guys up contending. I mean, it was all top level guys. And Scottie Scheffler has just separated himself as clearly the best player in the world. He didn't even really hit it. Like, he hit great iron shots when he needed to, but he struggled with some distances and things like that, and then just chipped his ass off just like around the greens. It just was sensational. He's just the best at being consistently good at everything that is involved in playing golf. And he's kind of set a new standard that the rest of these guys are going to have to chase. And when people start talking about, like, could he win two or three majors this year? I don't think that's out of the question the way he's playing right now. I mean, he really, if he had locked it in last week in Texas, he really could have won four straight starts. I mean, if he, like, he kind of just not mailed it in, but, you know, he just missed a putt at the end that if he makes that, he wins the playoff. I mean, he
said he hit a great putt too. He just a slight miss.
Yeah, sometimes just doesn't go in. So what he's doing right now, I mean, he's like the first guy or the only guy besides Tiger to win the Players and the Masters in the same season. He's the only guy to win at Sawgrass and Augusta twice. The only other guy's Tiger. Like, the stuff he's doing is ridiculous. So I thought it was entertaining. Like, Max Homa was obviously a fan favorite, former guest on the show. You know, he's fun to watch. That. Yeah.
No, I mean, I told my final pairing on Saturday. The final
on Saturday was two exit 52 guests. Yeah.
We should have got a picture of that.
We should have.
By the time I realized it was already like the back nine, and I was like,
Bryce and I remember
such a different era of the show.
I was getting my vaccine when you guys were interviewing Bryson. I don't remember where I was for Homa.
For Bryson, I was at a Maryland baseball game. I opened the laptop at the end of the press literally box and like listening to the end of Banks' interview. For Homa, I was here. I was at my house, but yeah.
I don't remember Homa. Oh no, that was a Grayson interview.
I was at a 7-Eleven.
We double teamed that episode with Grayson and Homa.
We did.
Yeah, we did.
That's some star power. That's
we gotta get power. We gotta get our guest game. At one point we had our guest game really rolling. We've strayed away from that a bit. We need to get that realigned.
I agree. I want to get Joe B. Fits and starts. So,
oh, we could definitely get Joe B.
I'm going to make a point to get Joe B.
That would be awesome. We can talk hockey with him. We can talk lacrosse with him.
High stick.
Yeah. Thanks. Wait till you see this clip of Ovi smiling. Wait till you see it. You're going to see it in like 15 seconds.
He's smirking.
Yeah. It's great. I need that screenshot. Someone's going to screenshot that. That's
here. Before we go to Meehan,
one of the greatest feats of his career is pulling this team, especially after a slow start for him personally, from a goal scoring standpoint, willing this team to the postseason. And Charlie Lindgren has been unreal the last couple months. There's been some games that, even ones they've lost, where I've looked at the shot totals and it's like, oh, Lindgren had 44 saves on 46 shots. It's like
standing on his
against
head.
The Caps 21 shots. It's insane. Shot it yesterday against Boston was just massive.
Yeah, that was great. Good for them.
38-year-old Alex Ovechkin leads the Caps in goals and leads the Caps in goals with 30, third in assists. Pretty impressive.
15 of 17 seasons playoffs. Whew. Bring on the Rangers.
It's an amazing run. It's an amazing run the guys have.
I mean, all things considered, the trajectory of this franchise, this is probably the last time we're going to see Ovechkin in the playoffs.
How many years does he have left? Let's do 5 minutes on the Caps. How many years does he have left on his deal?
I think two, maybe three.
Does he go until the record's broken and then does he shut it down? That's got to be what he's going for, right?
I think so. I
know we've talked about this a little bit before, so sorry for retreading a conversation to the listenership. But they continue to fascinate me in terms of the state of the franchise.
This one.
Okay. And the Capitals obviously have to let him ride it out with them. You cannot let him break the record in another uniform. So you have to ride it out with them. You can't rebuild without him gone. You have to continue to put a competitive product on the ice. So they can't go full rebuild. They're just in such a fascinating spot. Like, there's just no way for them to win the title. They have no path to the title. I guess it's hockey, so you could get in there and get hot or whatever. But it's just fascinating. Like, they're both not tanking. They can't really win the Stanley Cup based on how they can build the team with what they're doing with Ovechkin. And they're just kind of riding this. What will be an amazing moment. I mean, all the Ovechkin stuff will be totally worth it. And he's won the Stanley Cup, so you don't have any of those questions surrounding him. So you don't have to deal with any of that narrative. It's just great. It's awesome they made the playoffs. It's awesome they made the playoffs. So, like, the fan base.
They sold at the deadline.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good.
Because they're so interesting. Fun. Because obviously we're up here in Baltimore, and so there's Caps interest, but it's not necessarily like people are walking around talking about the Capitals. It's just not happening. But when there was buzz, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago, it was sort of like more of a real thing, and it feels like a lot of that has dissipated in terms of really any Caps interest you see, at least in this more of this metro area. Like, it's just not as out there. And I'll be interested to see, like, if, you know, out for Caps, like, that Caps Stanley Cup run, I mean, these Baltimore Bars were absolutely freaking going crazy. I mean, remember we were out for a couple of these games, Banks. It was outrageous. Like, if they made a run to the Eastern Conference Finals, it would be interesting to see. Not that they will, but if they did, like, I'd be interested to see if people were, like, engaged up here in those games.
I think there would be.
Because it feels like they were. It feels like if this had been 7 years ago in a second round game, you could go out and people would be kind of interested in the games. Right now, it just feels like that would not be the case at all. Just they're kind of in a different stage right now.
Yeah, but again, still fun team. I think people still can get behind them. They'll Ovi is, he's a magnet. People are drawn to him. So as he goes, I think we go. You know,
yeah, it's fun. Good for them. And then there's the Wizards. Who are potentially staring down the number one pick in a draft that everyone says is the worst in like 20 years.
I can't even think who we should be hoping for here.
There's not a consensus number one pick.
Brian, like, James, you are a Wizard. Could you imagine if he did that?
Could you guys even guess who you think is the number one pick in a mock draft right now?
No.
I don't even.
I would bet you guys wouldn't get it.
Just draft DJ Burns and like have fun with it. Just draft and have fun with it.
Like, let's see. Let me just pick a mock draft here. Currently trending as the top pick is Alexander Sarr, who is a French big man.
Yeah,
I was going to say France.
A lot of French guys. It's like clockwork.
I've seen Reed Sheppard, the Kentucky guard, is a number one pick in some mock drafts. I saw him on the Ringer mock draft. A French small forward named Zachary Richard. I don't even know how to say that. Rob Dillingham from Kentucky. By the way, two guys that are projected number one picks lost in the first round of the NCAA tournament. Like, I don't know. Donovan Klingon. Like, it's just not a great draft. RDT, you're Nick Cannon-Medley.
They have the sixth worst goal differential in the league, by the way. That's my last part. The sixth worst in the entire league.
It's amazing.
That's great. I'm gonna go Westberg and Kowser. I think those two young guys have really, really stepped up. Again, two of the guys who weren't really mentioned, I think Big Ben was talking about Westberg tonight. Like, he was almost kind of a forgotten name. Like, people weren't talking about him in the same conversation as Gunner and Adley and Jackson and Kerstad and all these guys. They were just like, oh yeah, he's down there. He's a good player, you know, but we don't really know what he's going to be. I mean, you saw trade talks with him. I personally said I didn't think we'd ever see him wear an Orioles uniform because I thought he would be traded last year. But all he's done is come up, grow a fantastic mustache that anyone can appreciate, and just hit the ball playoff defense. So it's great getting that out of him. And then Kowser, too. Again, we talked about it, but I mean, he single-handedly put the Orioles on his back in Fenway and won them that series. And he had 10 RBIs in three games in Fenway. He's awesome to start the year. Can't be happier for him. Again, a best on the go. Remember, like, he gave us like a five-minute answer on if he would rather face one gunner-sized tarantula or 100 tarantula-sized gunners. He like broke down every angle and aspect of his answer and like, it's just he's such a funny, quirky guy, and I'm happy that the Moose picked up and the Cow and all that. So I'm really happy for those two guys. Again, not like, oh, where do these guys come from? Obviously, we knew who they were, but they were never talked about in like major public. Like Keith Law was like, Colton Kowser is not a top 100 guy. Like he's not going to be a guy. So I'm happy for both of them that producing, you know, playing pretty much every day now, and they're. Their fixtures in the Orioles lineup. So they're here to stay. So I'm giving it to a shared NCM board to Westy and Kowser.
I like that. I was going to go my normal route to just talk about something that I enjoy in pro wrestling, because we haven't talked about WrestleMania on this show, but I won't give it to that. I'm going to give it to Blake Griffin, who retired today and is – really, I think he's become sort of like this late career, you know, he's on Pardon My Take and he does kind of the comedy stuff and he shows up at golf tournaments. And he's like, I think it's forgotten how exciting, and some of the highlights come out, like both the Oklahoma run, that Oklahoma team he played on, made the Elite Eight of the Final Four, whatever it was incredibly fun, him and his brother and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And then he was dynamic with the Clippers and the Lob City and all that's like, it was like that dude was dunking over someone like every 10 days. And I think like he played so above the rim. He was so exciting. I think some of that like early career excitement has gotten lost in like the narrative about how he didn't win and he, you know, didn't take those teams to the finals and, you know, his off court personality, which is enjoyable, but you know, people get annoyed by him, whatever. He was incredibly exciting to watch. So I think his career will age better with time. I think like it will every couple months, someone will be like, look at these Blake Griffin highlights, and it'll get 15,000 likes on Twitter. Like, it's just, that was the type of highlight, like the stuff Anthony Edwards has done a little bit this year with flying above the rim and John Morant the last couple of years. We'll see if that happens anymore. Was what he did early in his career. He was like, he was just that the above the rim guy of that 5 or 6 years.
I tweeted it today. His career lined up with like the kind of boom of Twitter so well because again, he was dunking on people every night. And it was like right when people were kind of getting on Twitter and it was like becoming a thing. Like I remember being in a sports media class or something at Towson. And literally one of our classes was we sat there and just discussed, like, look at this Blake Griffin dunk has 1,000 likes on ESPN. Like, you know, we were like, this is incredible. And like, this is, you know, the sharing it and the retweeting it and all that. Yeah. And I'm with you. His career, someone in, like you said, they're going to retweet it and be like, oh, we forget about how good Blake Griffin was, you know, and it's just going to go super viral every couple of weeks. So well-deserved. Again, I forgot. I mean, he's just so funny. He's hilarious. He does
very stand
up and all that. And his appearances on Pardon My Take and Blake of the Year and all that. I mean, he's a Mount Rushmore guest for me on Pardon My Take, along with SVP and some of the others. But yeah, that kind of bummed me out today to see that he retired. But man, he was so much fun to watch. So fun to watch. And again, starting in college and all, because like you never saw a guy like that big in college just move like he did. Like, dunk as hard as he did, hit his head on the rim like he did. Like, and again, you're like, Oklahoma, what the hell? Like, where did this guy come from? But yeah, he was awesome to watch. So I'm sure one of these nights I'll fall down a rabbit hole of Blake highlights. So that's a great pick.
He's got a great dunk contest performance. You pointed it out, Eric, like he was kind of at the beginning of the transition of how people now follow the NBA, where you used to, or really just any sport, but I think the NBA specifically fits into this because they've always let anybody do whatever they want with their highlights on social media, where you used to wait to see the highlight on SportsCenter, and he was one of the first guys that became a star because his highlights got texted around. Like, he was at the beginning of that. We're like, did you see that Blake Griffin highlight? Oh no, let me go to Twitter and find it because I know it's immediately on there. He is in the early class of NBA players that started in that culture and kind of played their entire career in it, which is how most people kind of consume the NBA at this point. Like, nobody, I mean, we obviously sit in an area where the team has not been good in a while, but not a ton of people turn on their team's game and watch it, or turn on the national game and watch it. They kind of scroll Twitter during the night and I'm like, oh, there's what, you know, LeBron did, or there is the play that CP3 just made or Durant just made. And Blake Griffin is kind of epitomizes that kind of player. It was like, oh my God, you just see him absolutely emasculate Pau Gasol. Oh no, let me turn it on. Oh, he just killed Serge Ibaka. Let me turn it on. Like that was
Timothy Mozgov, like RIP, like, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It was the start of that sort of trend. So that's a really good point by you, which I think has kind of changed the way people consume basketball, where they just don't watch the games. They just consume it now over TikTok. It was over Twitter.
NBA Top Shot. Top
Shot. Yeah. Yeah, NFTs. And now it's obviously more TikTok, but and Instagram, but it was started with Twitter, and Blake Griffin was a very part of that. So I'll give it to him instead of giving people a 3-minute soliloquy on how much I loved WrestleMania, which I definitely did. WWE is hot right now. Any honorable mentions?
Washington Capitals. they fucking did it.
The best is the Caps Instagram. I don't know if I've ever can recall seeing this. The Caps Twitter or Instagram tweet, or their caption was, "What the hell just happened?" They used hell. A team said hell in a caption. Good thing the kids are asleep, but man, who could have ever imagined that?
Wow. When did the NHL playoffs? When does the first round start?
I would think
Saturday afternoon, probably, would be my guess.
Can I tell you guys something? I think that the play-in tournament format would honestly be more exciting with hockey than basketball.
I don't think you're wrong.
Single elimination games in hockey would be kind of dynamic in a way that I just – like, I watch the NBA playing games. They're just not all the way there from an intensity standpoint. But in hockey, that could be potentially more fun. I don't know why the NHL – I don't know. Seems like the NHL should probably just do that, but maybe they just don't.
Man, that would be terrifying. That would be.
I mean, can you imagine as a fan? Because if you're the seventh seed in the NHL playoffs, like, you know, we've seen those teams make runs. It's not an invaluable spot. Whereas opposed to the NBA, where most of those teams get in and get taken to the woodshed, in the early rounds, but. I mean, that would be some heart racing stuff. I do have a honorable mention.
The king made his way to Jimmy's. Thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
First of many.
Already has some. Does he already have something named after him? Did I read that?
Sushi roll.
Yeah. Yeah. Sushi roll.
The king. Oh yeah, because it was right near the Roman Reigns roll.
Yeah.
On the menu.
Calzer got his burger this week. I told Johnny, I was like, you're gonna run out. Like, your menu's already massive. You're gonna run out of room. Like,
he's gonna need what he's gonna have to have like a regular menu and then his like player named menu. Like, you just get two menus and you get specialties.
You get basically a whole book at the table when you sit down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or they just keep adding pages to whatever they're doing. But that would be kind of fun if you got like the normal stuff and then you got all of their kind of signature celebrity and athlete name stuff. But
yeah.
I mean, every burger they make looks amazing. I watched the video. And I'm just like, why am I not eating this? So.
Oh, the Detroit Red Wings win. What a shame.
Well, next week we'll have our full NHL playoff breakdown.
With Joe B, maybe.
Love to have Joe B.
Set up.
Yeah. Joe B, we can break down that and the end of the college lacrosse season with Joe B. Because I'm sure he...
Exactly. Well, no, that was going to be my in a little bit, was to try to fold that in. Like, hey, let's talk Caps, but also...
I wonder if he's going to call the Big Ten... The Caps will probably be out of the playoffs by then, so he will be able to call the Big Ten lacrosse tournament, which he normally does. Well, it's in like 2 weeks. I mean, the Caps would absolutely have to make a run. Or maybe it's... No, the quarterfinals are next week, and the... But maybe they will. Caps, why not the Caps? All right, that's enough for this week's episode of the X52 podcast. Appreciate everyone following along. You can subscribe the X52 podcast on all of your podcast channels, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever it may be. I cannot talk right now. 5-star reviews are great for us. Appreciate all the comments and things. You can follow the podcast, that X52 podcast, on all of your social media platforms. You can follow Banks at Borrowstool Banks. You can follow me at TaylorSmite10. You can follow Eric at EDITTI22. You can follow Jake at Jake Luke and Spencer at Ravens for Dummies. Draft content coming up in a couple weeks. Like we said, a jumbo set dropping this week as well for all your in-depth Ravens discussions. We'll be back. I don't think we'll be back tomorrow with a series recap, since there won't be much to recap, but maybe the end of the week with a series live analysis. But stay tuned. Appreciate everyone listening, and we will see you next time on the Exit 52 podcast, presented by Jimmy's Seafood.